Father, we worship you. We honor you. Something happened just now. A deposit just happened just now. A transformation just happened just now. A shift just happened. A lift just happened. Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. We'll take testimonies later on, but something happened. Wave your hands and give him the praise. Give him the honor.
You are glorious.
Put your hands and give him the praise. Give him the praise. Clap your hands, all you people, and shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. In the name of Jesus. Please be seated. I am grateful to God for this climate of his presence, this climate of his power, the climate of his anointing. And I believe that we will never return back the same. 2 Sundays ago, we had 60 Chinese people who were in the church. They were with us for 3 days. And I received a testimony from one of them this morning. I don't know if you can place it on the screen. He said, "Dear sir, that's the head of the delegation. I need to testify that the sister, her name is Chen Wen Lan, who fell down after your prayer, that is, came under the anointing and for a long time remained on the ground at the Tuesday healing and deliverance service. Here is what she sent to me. She said, let me share what I gained from my trip to Nigeria in Dunamis International Gospel Center. Number one, my mind. The symptoms of cerebral aneurysms in the left brain and head have completely disappeared. Completely. I have been cured. Before, whether it was waking up in the morning or during the day, I often felt extremely dizzy and uncomfortable in my head, and my memory was very poor. I always forgot things and lost everything because of forgetting. Now I am awake and comfortable 24 hours a day, and my memory has also been restored. Give the Lord a praise. Number two, I have had over 30 years of eye problems. You can see her right down there wearing the glasses. When I came back, I could see pictures posted at home, calligraphy and paintings on pictures, things that I couldn't see clearly before. And now I don't wear glasses anymore. Give the Lord a praise for 30 years. All glory belongs to God. Number three, more importantly, my spiritual life has been overturned by the Heavenly Father. In the past, I often got angry, argued with others, refused to forgive, and suffered from bitterness when encountering problems in my life. Recently, I have noticed that when I am offended or wrongly accused of a problem in my life, I do not argue with others. And I immediately submit to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I immediately connect with God and leave the dispute. Pray to God. Hide myself in God. And avoid many disputes and crimes. I have really experienced true freedom in the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Give the Lord a praise. That is her right there. On the healing and deliverance service on the 19th of May. Was prayed for. You have other clips. And then also had the affliction on the neck, the brain, the head, the eyes, all of them. She came out to testify, and then she was prayed for. Mm-hmm.
Hashem Adonai. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Baruch Hashem Adonai.
All the tinglings, all of it disappeared that day.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Baruch Hashem.
She remained there for a very long time. Very long time. What we are hearing now is the outcome of this power. All over, she vibrated on the ground several times. This power. And I believe that someone, your testimony shall be the next. In Jesus' precious name. That is her there. That's her picture right there. Without the glasses. Can you imagine the difference? Right there. Thank you, Master. She sent this picture without the glasses. Thank you, Master. See the two of them. Father, we give you the praise. The face is looking younger and all of that. Just look at it. Take a look at the two. Father, we give you the praise. We're going to go to the part four. Of our message. Bold as the lion. The qualities of the lion. Proverbs chapter 30 and in verse 30. It said the lion, which is strongest among the beasts, he turneth not away for any. Psalm 10 and in verse 9. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait secretly. That is the word we are picking out of here, as a lion. What I think we are doing here is more like a boot camp, more like a training camp. And I believe that we will receive all that we need to receive, get trained, and then get empowered. So far, we have looked at 9 of the qualities of the lion. And now, maybe we can review it very quickly. Lions are royalty, authority. Secondly, we say that lions are territorial commanders. Thirdly, that lions are never praised, they are predators. Fourth, that lions are restful. Fifth, that lions accept the responsibility for the lifting up of themselves. They don't wait for anybody. Sixth, we said that lions, once triggered for action, they don't rest until the task is accomplished. Seven, lions are very aggressive and violent. 8, that the lions roars fiercely. Number 9, lions possess a fearless and unshakable heart. Number 10, which is where we are going, lions are highly strategic and calculative. Highly strategic and calculative. The righteous are bold as lions. They are highly strategic and calculative. He said, he lieth in wait secretly, not carelessly. Psalm 17 and in verse 12 also, it talks about the lion in secret, like a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion locking in secret. Secret places. No three things before we go on about being strategic. First, nothing is successful until someone is strategic. Nothing is successful until someone is strategic. To be successful, you must be strategic. Second, nothing is dynamic until someone is strategic. If things must move, somebody must be strategic. Nothing is dynamic until someone is strategic. Third, to be triumphant, or in fact victorious, to be triumphant, you must be strategic. If you are going to be triumphant, you are going to be victorious in life, you must be strategic. Why? Because even though wars are fought with weapons, they are won with wisdom. You fight wars with weapon, you win wars with wisdom. You fight wars with weapon, but you win the wars with wisdom. The lion calculates. The lion orchestrates. He organizes. At times he sets an ambush. He's hiding inside. They are hiding inside the bush while they are waiting for the prey. And then suddenly jumps out and pounces. He lies in the secret, secretly. This is very, very important. Many are losing in life, not for lack of vision, not for lack of power, but for lack of strategy, lack of wisdom. There are many powerful children of God, powerful servants of God, who are not getting results in life because of the lack of wisdom, because of the lack of strategy. Losing in life, losing grounds, losing territories, because of the lack of wisdom. I show you three examples in scripture of where wisdom won. Number one, Joseph. True wisdom. True strategy. Preserved ancient Egypt in the season of famine. In Genesis chapter 41, verse 36 to 39. He gave a wisdom that food shall be for stores to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. We all know the story. And Pharaoh said, said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the spirit of God is? He said, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has shown you all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Egypt was preserved. The then world was preserved. In fact, Israel and his sons were preserved by the wisdom display of Joseph. Example number two, Moses. Through the wisdom from Jethro, was able to effectively administer 3.5 million Jews that left Egypt
Moses, through the wisdom of Jethro, effectively administered 3.5 million Jews. Exodus 18. If you read all the way from verse 14 to verse 26. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto evening?" And Moses said unto his father-in-law, "Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. And when they have a matter, they come," and so on and so forth. And the father-in-law told him, "What you are doing is not good. You are going to wear out yourself. Many people have worn out their lives, worn out their destinies because of a lack of wisdom. And they have worn out the people around them. For this thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to perform it alone yourself." And he gave him the counsel. That counsel brought rest. Somebody say a loud amen. Third example. True wisdom. The Master Jesus used 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed 5,000 people. Many of us thought that was just a miracle. It wasn't just a miracle. It was wisdom. How do I know it was wisdom? In John chapter 6 verse 6. "And this he said to prove him, for himself knew what he will do." Himself knew what he will do. That is wisdom. Himself knew what he will do. And when he said, "Make the people to sit down," that is wisdom. Most miracles will never happen until wisdom is in place. There are many miracles we are trusting God to see in life and ministry, but we'll never see many miracles until wisdom is in place. Himself knew what to do. That was wisdom. Make the people to sit down on the grass. That was wisdom. Because it was not possible for the people to be disorganized. Everyone standing and hanging everywhere. And the food would have gone round. Listen to this. What is the profit of wisdom? Strategy. Calculativeness. Number one, wisdom wins battles. Battles against the enemy, they are won by wisdom. Wisdom wins battles. It is time to begin to ask God, "This battle in this area of my life, what is the wisdom that is needed to win this battle?" Have you ever watched a group of lions? I think they call that in wild beast, right? Very, very, very massive animal. It could be as big as 4 or 5 lions. All of a sudden, they rush at this beast. And the beast is trying to move away. But one jumps at the back. The other one jumps at the neck. All that they are attempting to do is to throw it down. When that animal lies down, the biggest of the lion will go for the jugular vein. With the mouth on the jugular, occluding the jugular vein, supply to the brain is affected. Another one goes straight into the intestine. And they start devouring it on the spot. That thing is bigger. Look at that. See how much taller that thing is than the lion. It's on the jugular now. That's all. It's done. That's all.
battle by strength. He knew the right place to hold. He understood the right place to hold. Battles are won, not necessary. Now, strength is good. We are going to come back to strength later on. But strength is good for battles. But ultimately, battles are won by wisdom. We need wisdom. Number two, wisdom terminates struggles and brings success and progress. Wisdom terminates struggles and brings success and progress. It terminates struggles and brings success and progress. Any area of your life where you seem to be struggling, there is a wisdom lacking there. Wisdom is lacking where there is struggle. Strategy is lacking where there is struggle. Anywhere you are struggling, what is lacking is wisdom. You say, if the iron is blunt and it does not put more strength, if the iron is blunt and it does not sharpen the edge, you will need more strength to do the work. That is, you will continue to struggle. But wisdom is profitable to direct. Check around your life. Where is there struggle? Financial struggle is an outcome of a lack of financial wisdom. Ministry struggle is a product of lack of ministry wisdom. Marital struggle is a product of lack of marital wisdom. So, wisdom is necessary to terminate struggles and necessary to bring success and progress. Why is wisdom necessary? Thirdly, wisdom brings increase and multiplication. Things increase and multiply by wisdom. Increase and multiplication. The things around your life will increase. The things around your life will multiply with wisdom. Himself knew what to do. John chapter 6 verse 6. And 5 loaves and 2 fishes multiplied. Because he knew what to do. He knew what to do. 5 loaves, 2 fishes multiply. Because he knew what to do. John chapter 6 verse 6 and John chapter 6 verse 9 all the way to verse 12. Increase and multiplication happens by wisdom. A lion is strategic and calculative. Why is wisdom necessary? Number four, wisdom brings peace and rest. Peace and rest. In Proverbs chapter 3 verse 17, the Bible said, the ways of wisdom are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are paths of peace. Everything that puts your life under tension is not wisdom. Life under pressure. Life under tension. Life under stress is proof of wisdom bankruptcy. You have money, but you are still stressed. Wisdom is lacking in the administration of that money. If peace is lacking, wisdom is absent. If peace is lacking, wisdom is absent. If rest is lacking, wisdom is absent. If wisdom is present, people are peaceful and restful. You know a wise man by the peacefulness of his life, the restfulness of his life. He's just peaceful, he's restful, he's calm, cool, collected, together. And so if somebody is going to pray today, with all the gifts you have given to me, Lord, add wisdom to it. With all the graces you have given to me, add wisdom, add strategy. That was the first thing Solomon asked when he went into office. Lord, I need your wisdom. I need strategy. I need to know what to do. Somebody is receiving something today. If you are that one, say loud amen. If you are that one, say loud amen. If you are the person, shout the loudest amen. What is wisdom? How do we go about wisdom? I've just mentioned three things. Since this is not a major course on wisdom or strategy, three things. Number one, wisdom is connecting to the mind of God. Connecting the mind of God on issues of life. Connecting the mind of God on the issues of life. Connecting the mind of God. Connecting the mind of God on issues of life. What is your mind, Lord, on this issue? My ways are not your ways, said the Lord. Isaiah 55 verse 5, verse 8 and 9. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. So God has a way. He has his way about everything. He has his thought about everything. He is called the all-wise God. He is called the all-wise God. The only wise God. So if I am to be wise, I must connect the mind of God. I must connect to the ways of God. I must connect to how God will do it. How will God do it? How does God want me to do it? How does God want me to go about it? How does the Bible want me to go about it? It's wisdom. Somebody say loud amen. Secondly, wisdom is acting on its insight from the word of God. Wisdom is applied insight, applied revelation. You got the revelation from the word and applied it. Applied insight, applied revelation from the word. Matthew 7:24, he that heareth the sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Wisdom is applied insight, applied revelation. In this case, you are not looking for revelation to preach. You are looking for revelation to apply. You are not looking for revelation to quote. You are looking for revelation to apply. You are not looking for revelation to just claim. You are looking for revelation to apply. It's wisdom. Strategy. Thirdly, wisdom is the involvement of thought with effort. The involvement of thought with effort. In John chapter 6, verse 6, himself knew what to do. So in verse 9, he said, tell them to sit down. In the involvement of thought with effort. A lot of people have plenty of thought, but plenty of effort, but bankruptcy of thought. Let me say it in one word. Wisdom is thinking deeply and acting smartly. Thinking deeply and acting smartly. Your thought is deep, so your action is smart. And until we think, ideas don't flow. Wisdom flows for the thinker. And you think best when you think on paper. How do I get this done? Number one, number two, number three, number four, number five. Somebody say amen. Amen. Please don't forget this. It is involving where effort alone is hard work. Thought with effort is what makes smart work. Many are working hard but not working smart. So the struggle continues. They are working very hard, but they are not working smart. So the struggles continue. It is involving effort, involving thought with effort. It is thinking smartly. Thinking deeply and acting smartly. Is that the third? What's number one? Connecting with the mind of God. Number two, applied revelation. Number three, involvement of thought with effort. Number four, wisdom is choosing the best course of action within a given set of options. The best course of action within a given set of options. I have these various options. I can do it like this. 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 But this is the best course of action. Less demanding, less time wasting, less energy wasting, less people wasting. It is the best course of action within this set of options. I have 20 options. What is the top three? I now have the three options. What is the top one? The first, the one, the topmost. Very, very important. Beloved brothers and sisters, and you see, until you can outline your options, you will never be able to work strategically. You see, you don't, until you are able to enumerate and outline the options you have, it's not possible to work strategically. There are many people who walk by chance. They just move. Whatever comes their way, they do it. No, sir. It is choosing the best course of action within a given set of options. Very, very important. So that is the lions are strategic, highly strategic, and very calculative. That is what gives rise to their success. Now, number 11. Lions move swiftly with speed.
They move swiftly with speed to achieve results. They are sprinters. They know that they have to run very fast, urgently, because most lions lack endurance to keep running for a long time. So they have a high sense of urgency. They have to run fast now and get the results now before they get tired. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? You heard the story that one day, one morning in East Africa, the lion wakes up with the determination to run faster than the fastest gazelle, the fastest antelope, so he doesn't die of hunger. And the antelope wakes up with the determination to run faster than the fastest lion, so he doesn't die in the stomach of the lion. Right? The two of them made the determination. Me, I am a lion. I must run faster today than the fastest gazelle, so I don't die of hunger. Gazelle said, I must run faster than the fastest lion, so I don't die as food in the tummy of the lion. So they said, the question is not whether you are a lion or a gazelle. The most important thing is when the day breaks, start running. Just be on the run. Just be on the run. Just be on the run. It doesn't matter who you are. Just be on the run. Move with the sense of urgency. Now, why must the lion run? Number one, to achieve his target on time. To achieve, accomplish his target on time. To catch the prey. To achieve his target on time. And second, why must lions run? Lions move speedily to achieve their targets on time, to outrun the prey. Secondly, lions move speedily in order not to die of hunger. This is very important. In order not to die of hunger. And how does it apply to you? In order not for your destiny not to perish, not to be cut off. It is on record that a major cause of death for lions, especially old lions, is hunger. Because as they lack, as they diminish in strength and diminish in speed with age, they naturally die of hunger. Job chapter 4 verse 11, it talks about the old lion that perisheth for lack of prey. He perished, he dies because he couldn't get food. So he must run. He must learn how to run, so he doesn't perish from hunger. Somebody say loud, amen. That is for the lion. As a person yourself, why do you need speed? Why do we need speed? Are you ready for this? I'll give you three or four reasons why we need speed. Number one, you need speed for the realization of life's vision. The realization of life's vision. Vision requires speed. The vision is for an appointed time. Write it on tables that he may run that readeth it. We need speed to fulfill our life's assignment within our time allotment. Take your seat. Life assignment has a time allotment. We don't have eternity to to fulfill destiny. We only have time. We need speed and urgency to cover vast grounds within short time. We need speed to get results achieved when we still have energy. Like I told you, the lion dies for lack of prey. Somebody say aloud, amen. There are many visions perishing. Not because the vision was not authentic, but the vision bearer is not a runner. The vision carrier is not a runner. The vision carrier is not a runner. He's too relaxed. He's too relaxed. He's too comfortable. You know, this is May. Nicaragua crusade that I went for happened in this May. And I thought it was last year. Because of the speed with which it was made history. And the speed with which the next things must happen. I was just thinking. This crusade that we went is this May. There are people, the results they got last year is still too important today. That's that crusade there. Nicaragua. Just ensure that results, celebrate the results, but turn them into history quickly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God speaking to anybody here, say loud, amen. So we need speed, and in the name of Jesus, every spirit of procrastination, every spirit of delay, I command them to die right now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Second, why do you need speed? You need speed. We need speed to execute divine instructions. To execute divine instructions in a timely manner. God does not continue to give instructions to people who delay in implementation. He won't. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, God said to Abraham, get out of your father's house unto the land that I will show you. And God continued talking from to verse 2, to verse 3, to verse 4. To verse 4, Abraham departed. There was no gap between when God spoke to Abraham and when Abraham departed. In Genesis chapter 22, and in verse 1, God said to Abraham, take your son, your only son. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. He said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. What happened? He told him today. I assume it was in the evening. And Abraham rose up early the next morning. He was not calculating days. He was not saying, let me arrange my life. He rose up early the next morning. And and saddled his ass and took his young men with him. Oh God, may God help us. May God help us. May God help our generation. Some people are saying God does not talk to me anymore. God is saying I should speak to you for what purpose? I have spoken to you many times and you did nothing about it. We have a relaxed... That one of the things I like God's servant Bishop David Oyedepo is that if God speaks to him now, he moves now. He outpaced people, his contemporaries outpaced everybody in front of him. Because of speed of motion, speed of action, speed of acting. We need speed. Speed to implement divine instructions in a timely manner so that we can get the purpose of God done in our generation. Finally, thirdly, we need speed to confront and collapse enemy agenda. Confront and collapse. You don't walk casually to deal with Goliaths. You don't walk casually. In 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 48, see how David confronted Goliath. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army. We need speed. We need speed to confront and collapse enemy agenda. Somebody met me the other day and he was telling me, I was one of those that followed you to go confront cultists at that time. He said, really? He said, yes, I was one of those who came out. And as he talked, I remembered. Because at that time there was a climate of gloom. Cultism was trying to rise in our own campus like afresh. Cultists is like gangs. Gangsters that carry guns and shoot and maim and kill on the campus. Yeah. Then. So they came out around 3 a.m. shooting sporadically in the air. Broke all lights. People were lying on their beds. Frozen. They were singing a very terrible song. That Satan conquered the world. That Jesus, you are in trouble. Terrible song. Everybody was on their beds and everybody had frozen. I was lying on my bed hearing that sound. The more I heard it, the more angry I got. What will I do at this time? Between you, me and God, I didn't know when I opened the door and ran out to the corridor and just began to run towards the direction of that sound and was tonguing aggressively and violently. While that was happening, others also who were so provoked also had started coming out of their rooms. And then we converged at the center. And we began to blast in tongues. As we came, they receded. They had guns, we had nothing. But we have general purpose machine gun of the Holy Ghost. They receded. They kept receding into the bush. We followed them. They kept receding into the bush. We held the ground on the campus from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. And went in front of each room, each hostel block, and began to decree. Any of you who came out this morning and you say Satan conquered the world, I was speaking.
If you are not ashamed of Satan, your father, and you consider Satan your master, come now and defend him in the open. And none of those agents of the devil could step out. One person poured water from the upstairs. He must be among them. He poured water, a bucket full of water, upon all standing up. And we decreed unto him, you just poured away your life. He was dead in a matter of days. It has been there since. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Many devils are surviving because runners are few. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Many Goliaths are standing against territories because those who will move with speed and with an aggression, they are very, very few. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Many battles are standing because movers are few. I speak right now, the grace for speed, the grace for urgency be released upon you now in the name of Jesus. Somebody lift your voice and say, in the name of Jesus, I refuse every trace of sluggishness. I refuse every trace of sluggishness, every trace of slackness, every trace of delay. I am moving aggressively with speed to confront and collapse the devil and his agents in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord a praise and take your seat. I already gave you examples. Abraham. Examples of people who moved with speed. Example of Abraham. Second example was David. Let me give you a third example, Joseph. If you want your vision to come to pass, you must be a runner, a man of speed. There is a connection between vision and speed. Hear it and hear it very well. There is a connection. Genesis chapter 14, verse 14. When Pharaoh, 41:14, 4:1-4. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him gradually out of the dungeon. They brought him sluggishly. They took their time for him to come out. They brought him hastily out of the dungeon. He shaved himself. That is, with urgency, he changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. Why? Because the day he had been waiting for just arrived. He had been waiting for this day for years. He had been waiting for these days for years. He had been waiting for this dream to come to pass, for this vision to come to pass. He had been waiting for it for years, and this vision just came to pass. He cannot attack it gradually. He cannot attack it casually. He must attack it urgently. Hey! Many visions are suffering because runners are not running. Many Goliaths are surviving because runners are not running. Divine instructions are lacking in manifestation because those who should rush to obey God and make it happen are not running. But it is over in the name of Jesus. We have learned two things. Hallelujah! We have learned two things this morning. That lions are highly strategic
and very calculative. It's the place of wisdom. And second, we learn that lions move swiftly with speed to achieve result. Final thing we learn this morning as we draw the curtain is that lions are symbols of strength. 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 The lion can break a jaw, can scatter a head in a moment, can tear off an ear in a moment. When he holds a prey with power, with muscles, he's unable to break loose from that grip. Judges 4 and verse 18. Mixed up something. Alright, let's take 30:30. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 30. The lion is the strongest among the beasts, and he turned not away for any strength. Why is strength needed? Number one, strength is needed to conquer the adversary and win the battles of life. To conquer the adversary and win the battles of life. You know, it's a combination of strength and strategy. The battles are fought with strength, won with strategy. So the two are neither. They are fought with strength. That's 14:18, Judges 14:18. What is stronger than a lion? The battles are fought with strength, won with strategy. Strength is needed to conquer the adversary and win the battles of life. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 said, be strong finally, my brethren. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. For we wrestle. Put on the whole armor of God. For we wrestle. We are in a battle. And if this battle must be won, you must be strong in the Lord. Why is strength needed? Number two, strength is needed in order not to faint in the day of adversity. In order not to faint in the day of adversity, strength is needed. He said, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. So that you don't collapse before the enemy. You don't collapse in front of enemy agenda. You don't collapse in front of bad news. You don't collapse. Strength is needed in order not to faint in the day of adversity. Why is strength needed? Number three, strength is needed for exploits in life and destiny. Exploits. For the people that do know their God, they shall be strong and do exploits. Strength is needed for exploits. Attention commanding results. Feats of might and power. Exploits. Why is strength needed? Number four. Strength is needed to fulfill life's assignment. Bear in mind that it takes energy to fulfill destiny. Destiny requires energy. Moses said, Deuteronomy chapter 34 and in verse 7,
Moses was 100 years old when he died. His eye was not dim. His strength was not reduced. Energy. I was with Pastor George in dedicating his new church about a month ago. And he said to me, he said, very funny. He said, you know, Daddy, God knows as for zeal, I don't have problem with it. As for passion, and what is needed now is the energy, the strength. And that is what is coming right now. That is what we are dealing with right now. And it's coming. How do you explain that? When I was talking about our assignment between now and August, somebody said, how is that possible? You are at home doing books, doing music, doing preaching in church, doing neighborhood crusade, and then you are in Venezuela, you are in Argentina, you are in Brazil, you are in Canada, you are in Romania, you are in France, Paris, you are in Germany, you are in Latvia, you are in Czech Republic, you are in America in August, and then we have a meeting in South Africa, and then we are in ministers' conference. I've mentioned at least 12 different places now already in the next 2-3 months. Administering churches also. What of time? What of energy? Even if you are a trained military person, we have military generals here. They will tell you that this is beyond their scope of work. There has to be supernatural energy. Because our work is supernatural. Our energy can't be physical, can't be natural. Our assignment is supernatural. Our energy cannot be natural. The energy requirement cannot be natural. Our assignment is supernatural. The energy required to do a supernatural assignment cannot be natural energy. So we need to trust God for the supernatural energy to match the supernatural assignment. We need to trust God for the supernatural energy to match the supernatural assignment. Somebody say, what of jet lag? I mean, even in all of this, by the time we reach the Philippines, What day we are calling 7 a.m. is 12 midnight in Nigeria. When I should be sleeping in Nigeria is when I'm to start working there. How do you do that? How do you do that? So we need the energy. We need to trust God for the supernatural energy to match the supernatural assignment. I show you 3 examples of people who won battles, fulfilled visions, fulfilled life's assignments by virtue of strength. Number 1, Abraham. Abraham was going to battle almost at the age of 100. Leading the battle himself. In Genesis 14 verse 14 to verse 15. Almost at the age of 100. And when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants born in his own house, 318, and pursued them to Dan. He's pursuing the army of 4 nations. Keep going. He divided himself against them. He and his servants ambushed them by night and smote them and pursued them unto Hoba, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods. 100-year-old man. Or about 100. Leading an army to battle by himself. When God called him to go and offer his son Isaac, we read that already. Genesis chapter 22 from verse 1. He rose up early in the morning. He would not allow the day to break. He broke the day. Saddled his ass by himself. Took his young men with him. And Isaac his son. He himself clave the wood. Broke the wood for the burnt offering. And climbed up mountain. I'd like you to read it. He started the journey in the morning. Go to verse 4. He's now 118 years old. Because Isaac was about a 90-year-old boy. On the third day, he lifted his eyes and saw the place. What kind of 118-year-old man is climbing mountains for 3 days and reaching where God said he should reach after 3 days of walking non-stop, day and night? Is that not a challenge to 45-year-old man who is struggling to wake up in the morning? Is that not a challenge to 18-year-old teenager who is struggling to wake up in the morning? Is that not a challenge to 30-year-old man who is yawning during service and looking at his watch and wondering why service has not finished? Is that not a challenge to the young man that is 35 years old, battling to keep his eyes open for a 2-hour service? He's battling. Power shut down. He need UPS to keep himself awake. Did you hear what I just said? You are talking about a 118-year-old man. He climbed the mountains and continued climbing the mountains of Moriah for 3 days before he could reach where he was going. And you want to compare your result with such a man? Abraham's blessings are yours. Then let Abraham's strength be yours. Wake up, wake up, wake up! Wake up! Wake up, wake up, wake up. There is too much laziness in our generation. Too much laziness. Too much idleness. Too much indolence in our generation. That you're a Christian is not an excuse to be lazy and waiting for God to do everything for you. Pastor does not mean you don't have a shadow. Because nobody is supervising you. So you do anything you want to arrive at any time you want? No. As we are going on a crusade, file is following us. Inside plane, walk is on. That's why the secretary is following me. Walk is on permanent. Books reviewed. Memos written. Messages sent. It's permanently on. If you think it's a holiday, follow us one day. My sister followed us to Philippines, right? She said, is this the kind of thing you people are doing? He said, people think it is holiday. He said, people think it's enjoyment. Let them come and see it. She said, Kai! All the crusades are like this. Morning session, evening session, walk happening in between, commanding the day happening there. Dedications for some. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I like us to wake up. Today I prophesy a baptism of strength, a baptism of energy, a baptism of strength, a baptism of energy. Receive now! Receive now! Receive now! If you are saying amen, say a louder amen. Shout the loudest amen.
Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Abraham, he went to battle.
And that was not enough. I also mentioned he went uphill 3 days to sacrifice his son. When he arrived at the place of sacrificing the son, Genesis chapter 22 verse 9, Abraham, a 118-year-old man, came to the place which God had told him of. He built an altar there, laid the wood in order. He bound, he tied. Is there any 18-year-old boy here? Any teenager from 17 to 18? Anyone like that? Your son is how old? He is 14. Is big like he's more than 14. This young man here now, pastor's son, is it easy for any of you to carry him like lift him with your hand, lay him on the wood, and you begin to tie him hand and foot, and he is watching you, and he saw you with a knife? Won't he finish you first? He said, "What are you trying to do, sir? What's going on?" He said, "God said I should sacrifice you." "Sacrifice who?" "Sacrifice yourself first, sir." The other side, I mean, this was an old man carrying a big boy, lay him on the altar by himself with enough strength. Alone. The servants are waiting. That is the kind of strength it takes to fulfill destiny and to be who God wants you to be. By the time we are through this morning, I'd like you to vow against every spirit of slackness, indolence, laziness. There is so much to do, and energy is needed to get them done. In the name of Jesus, you will not live here the same way. If you believe, I say a loud amen. You believe, I say a loud amen. Example number two, last round of Moses. We read that already in Deuteronomy chapter 34 and in verse 7. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim. His strength was not reduced. He had the same strength at the age of 120 like he had at the age of 40. I tell people, they said, after our daughter gave birth to our grandchild, he said, "Oh, so you are a granddad now." And my wife is a grandmom now. I know when you hear granddad, you know the old men in the village that are just struggling with stick. I said, if anybody is waiting for granddad behavior and grandfather laziness, you are wasting your life. This dance, you will see it till 70, 80, 90. If Jesus tarries, keep going. The grandson will be struggling to catch up with the speed of, even my son is still struggling to catch up with my speed. Now, One day we're dancing, say, Daddy, you are tiring me out. I say, keep moving. Keep going. Are you following what I'm saying here today? Because it is not, if your strength is not a matter of your age. Otherwise, Moses at 120 should be weak. At the age of 120, he should be tired. At the age of 120, he should be slack. But his strength was intact. Even Joshua wasn't it. Let's go to Caleb. Caleb wasn't it. Let's move to Joshua chapter 14 and verse 10. Look at Joshua chapter 14 and in verse 10. Verse 10 to verse 14, Joshua 14, 10 to 14. Let's go. He said, and now behold, the Lord has kept me alive. As he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto me, unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day first called. And 5 years, that is 85 years. As yet, I am strong this day, as I was in the day that Moses sent me. He said, 40 years old he was then. 45 years later, he said, as he was strong at age 40, so strong is he now that he is 45. He said, for war, both to go out and to come in. I can lead war. I can go out for war now. The same way I did when I was 40. The same way I will do now that I am 85. Who talks like that? Who speaks like that? Look at the next verse. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. What the Lord spoke to me that day. For you heard in that day that the giants were there, the Anakims, and that the cities are great and fenced. Forget about them being there. Leave that for me. All I need is just give me the place. If so be, the Lord will be with me. Then I will go there and drive them out. He's talking of driving giants like driving chicken. Like driving pollo. Huh? I will go and drive them out. The place is fenced. Anakims are there. Giants are there. Your duty is to give me what God promised me. My duty is to take it. I'm not asking you to take it for me. I will take it myself. And that is one thing about lions. They don't eat what another person kills. They shun it. Some eat balanced food. And somebody killed it for you. Why? Very, very rare. They are not scavengers. That is for hyena. That is for vulture. And you know what I'm saying here today? And if you read it further, Caleb was given the land. Verse 13. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. What happened? Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb. What happened to the Anakims? Ask Caleb. What happened to the giants that were there? Ask Caleb. Hebron became the place for the enthronement of kings. David was anointed king in Hebron. If Caleb did not take it, where will be the anointing place of David? Question is, what happened to the giants that were there? Ask 85-year-old General Caleb. Ask him. He disappeared them. He disappeared them. He disappeared them.
His strength was so intact that he evaporated them. He vamoosed them. That is what God is saying to you. You are too young to be complaining of tiredness. You are too young to be complaining of lack of strength. You are too young to be complaining of weakness. It's a new day. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. And so this morning, the things we are trusting God for are threefold. All of them S. One is strategy. Two is speed. And three, strength. Strategy, speed, strength. All are qualities of the lion. Strategy, speed, strength. Let me round off with, what are the secrets of strength? Number one is the knowledge of God. The people that know God, they shall be strong. Daniel 11:32, the knowledge of God. Knowing God equals strength. There is a level of knowledge of God you have, a level of intimacy with God, a level of relationship, interaction with God, a level of koinonia with God that impacts you with a strength that is a mystery to your world. The knowledge of God. Number two, the word of God. I've spoken to you young men. 1 John chapter 2 verse 14. He said, because I've written to you fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you. Strength happens when word abides in you. Feed on word. Maintain the steady diet of the word. Number three, waiting on the Lord. Isaiah 41 and in verse 30. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Waiting on the Lord as a lifestyle, as a habit. Not necessarily that there is a crusade, a convention, or anything. It's just your life. It's your life. It's your life. It's your life. Number four is faith in God. By faith, Sarah received strength. Was that Hebrews 11:11? Through faith also Sarah herself received strength. Lord, I believe you for strength. Your word promises me strength. Jesus is not weak. The Father is not weak. He's called the Almighty. I can't be weak. Number five is the Spirit of God. Connecting the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is called the Spirit of Might. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3. There is a dimension of the Spirit of God that is the dimension of might. Isaiah 11:3. and it shall make him of quick understanding. Okay, verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. That was the kind of the Spirit of might that was on Samson. And Samson went down to Timnath, and there roared the lion against him. I think that was Judges 14 and in verse 5. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Came mightily upon him. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And he tore the lion like you would have tore a baby goat. It is time to apply. Many of us, we pray a lot for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the spirit of gift of prophecy. Everybody wants to be prophetic. Everybody wants to be this and that. But it's time to ask. I'm asking specifically for the spirit that makes mighty. The spirit of mighty men. The spirit of wearilessness, tirelessness. It is coming on somebody. If you are the one, say it loud, amen. Somebody is blessed this morning. Something is happening to you already. Are you sure something is happening to you? How many are receiving strategy? How many are receiving speed? How many are receiving strength? Stand on your feet with a loud shout of victory. 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 I feel very, very excited because most times the laying on of words can be more impactful even than the laying on of hands. Most times, as he spake, the Spirit entered. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 2. There is the entrance of the Spirit when the word is spoken. So something entered you already by the speakings of today. Would you lift up your hands and lift up your voice? Appreciate God for what you have received. Appreciate God for what you have received. Thank him for what you received this morning. Honor him for what you received this morning. Honor him for what you received this morning. Lift your voice and speak to God. Like barata sadagala. Honor him for what you received this morning. Honor him for what you received this morning. Father, we praise you. Father, we honor you. Father, we adore you. Father, we magnify you.
In Jesus' precious name.
Lift your hands everywhere you are. You are here this morning. You are in need of surrender to Jesus. I'd like you to step forward while others proceed. You will step forward here. We'll present our expectations in the evening and trust God to pray and impart some of the nations in the evening. But 5:30 p.m. is the evening time. You need to give yourself to God, for have your sins forgiven. Have your ways right with Jesus. Quickly rush to the front now while I release everyone here else in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. In the name of Jesus. And 2026, we are reigning as kings. God bless you. Place your hand on your chest, those of you in the front, and pray this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I come before you today. I surrender my life to you. Forgive me my sins. Make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. Forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.